Our scripture this morning is found in Paul's letter to 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. And this is what Paul says, beginning at verse 14 of the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. And so for our subject, I think this scripture is trying to tell us our real ministry. Our real ministry. We hear a lot about what Jesus wants us to do. That's what the church is about, really. It's about coming to hear a message about God in Christ. In hope, a message from God to hear what it is that God wants us to know. We come to church to get some understanding from someone. And I guess at this point, it's me. Whom you believe has listened to God and heard God in some strange way, who reads or has read with some understanding from a book that is thousands of years old, words that are supposed to have some meaning for us today. We come to hear God's word interpreted for our time, to bring some contemporary meaning to those old words. We come to discover what the true ministry of Christ is, what thus saith the Lord, but more importantly, what our part in that ministry is. We come to discover where we fit in. Well, if that's what we come to church for, then I have some good news for you, especially for those of you who are here. Your reasons for coming to church may in fact be answered today. And not just about what the true ministry of Christ is, but about what our ministry as believers in Christ is as well. This may be one of the most important sermons I've ever preached. It may not be my best. I pray before I preach each time that God's words would become my words so that my words might become God's words. Now, it may be confusing to some of you, but I'm clear that I don't want my personal agenda or truths to wind up getting in the way of God's truth unnecessarily. In some ways, that's what makes today's message so important. Because I couldn't get between you and God's word to you today, no matter how hard I tried. That's because this message is so obvious. Paul's message is simple. The ministry of Christ and our ministry to the world are to be a ministry of reconciliation. That's the task that's before us. It's that simple. This letter to the Corinthians was written thousands of years ago, and yet nothing has changed, at least where the content of the message is concerned. And nothing has changed in how the expectation of our response is concerned. God, in order to bring all humanity back into a right relationship to God, allowed Christ to die, bearing the burdens of our sins, so that we could be reconciled to God. And we, having realized what God has done, are then charged with the responsibility to first be reconciled to God and then be reconciled to one another. And finally, to be ambassadors of Christ, agents and messengers of all that God has done in Jesus Christ, so that the world and everyone we meet might know what God has done and accept God's offer of reconciliation. In short, God has offered amnesty to the world in the name of Jesus Christ. But we get so wrapped up in our own little world and wars of attrition that the idea of reconciliation becomes an item that is taken off of our agenda. And it doesn't start with not being reconciled. It happens much earlier than that. It happens when we get lost in our refusal to even accept one another. And as soon as we fail to accept one another, the fact that we might have offended one another or have been offended by one another shuts the door on any hope or idea of forgiveness. And once the idea of forgiveness is thrown out, reconciliation becomes virtually impossible. The idea of reconciliation becomes nothing more than smoke being blown about by the wind. And when the idea of reconciliation is gone, so is any idea of becoming an ambassador to the ministry of reconciliation. And when that's gone, what hope do we have of accurately representing God in our world? That's why reconciliation is so important. It's important because only by the God-initiated act of reconciliation are we able to live in true relationship with one another. And don't misunderstand me, don't get it twisted, and don't get it wrong. There are a lot of people faking relationships. They live in virtual abject disgust of someone. But they either walk around smiling as if, or they choose not to speak to someone, or ignore them like they don't exist or mean anything to them. And that's where the hypocrisy is stored. Our failure to be ambassadors is stored in our willingness to live as if we're in a relationship when in reality we're putting up a front, a facade that seems to be all right with the world. Have you ever hated someone for a long time? Maybe hate's too strong a word. Allow me to choose a stronger word that may be less offensive to our hearing. Have you ever been indifferent to anyone? Have you ever just not cared about them at all? Now, be clear. Hatred is an emotion that takes over when we're angry or disappointed or hurt. We hate out of fear. Fear of loss, fear of pain, fear of betrayal, fear of broken trust. We hate because there's something that exists within ourselves that we hate. And we see that same quality in another person and we can't stand it in them. And so we learn to hate the truth about us that we see in others. But indifference. We choose to be indifferent. Now there's a word that's worse than hatred. Indifference. Hating someone at least means that we care enough to think about them, even in anger. But indifference, that's a word that's absent of emotion. When we're indifferent, we just don't care. We're unconcerned. We don't care if they live or die, if they eat or starve, get sick or get well. We separate ourselves from any emotional ties to them at all. They're less important to us than naval men. When we're indifferent, we wouldn't give them the time of day, nor would we bend to help someone if our life depended on it. Or even more importantly, if their life depended on it. But in reality, it does. I know, and I know from personal experience. Can you imagine being indifferent to someone for 25 years? Can you? For 25 years, you just didn't care. That's how I felt about my father. From 1979, or 69, to 1994, I just didn't care. I was unconcerned. If he lived, it was okay. If he died, it was okay. I just didn't care. But then on the 19th of June, in 1994, God told me to call my father. And I couldn't understand why, because after all, I didn't care. But I tried to be obedient to God. And after 25 years of indifference, I called my father. And we spoke on the phone for 2 hours in ways that I had never spoken to him before. And on the 19th of June, in 1994, Father's Day, my father and I reconciled. God had a reason for telling me to call him. There is a movie called Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. And in that film, there's an asteroid named Matilda, and it's on a collision course towards the Earth. And in 3 weeks, the world will come to an absolute end. This asteroid is going to strike the Earth with such an impact that nothing will exist anymore. In this movie, a gentleman named Dodge, played by Steve Carell, pays his neglectful father played by Martin Sheen, a visit before the impending doom. And he has something that he wants to tell him.
Did we get old or what? So you're here to tell me all the things I did wrong?
No, you know all the things you did wrong. I came here to ask you something.
I know I could have handled things differently.
I don't want to talk about it.
You know, your mother didn't make it any easier.
Don't say another word about her.
We were so young when you were born.
And now you're not, and neither am I. And we have our whole lives to figure it out.
I'm just trying to say I'm sorry.
Well, just say it then.
Just say it then. Took me and my father 25 years of indifference to just say, I'm sorry. It's not too late. Dodge and his father were facing the end of the world. So Dodge opened up the door of reconciliation with his father. Dodge had the luxury of knowing that the world was coming to an end and sought out reconciliation. What Dodge knew, but I didn't know, is that 5 weeks after my father and I reconciled, he died. We reconciled before it was too late. And isn't that true that for all of us here, it's not too late? It's not too late to go to those who have hurt us and by whom we've been hurt to seek reconciliation. It's not too late for us to pick up a phone or send someone a message offering forgiveness and reconciliation. Today, we still have life. We still have an opportunity to let bygones be bygones. We still have a chance to put the past behind us, to accept one another, forgive one another, and be reconciled to one another so that God may be glorified by this ministry of reconciliation established by Christ. You see, brothers and sisters, forgiveness without reconciliation doesn't create relationship. Relationship is created when we forgive one another and then seek to engage one another in ways that create dialogue and not argument, in ways that put out the fires of anger and resentment. Reconciliation invites us to live in ways that force us to put aside the pretense of getting along and invites us to come together as one in Christ, to work together, to love together, to live together, and show the world what it really means to be in a relationship of reconciliation. We cannot promote reconciliation as a ministry imperative as long as we live as if we really don't want anything to do with one another. We can't live that way and then say to one another, I accept you and I forgive you, but say it lacking the sincerity of truth. Can you imagine Christ saying that to us? Can you imagine Jesus hanging from the cross and crying out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing, and from now on, I don't want anything to do with them either, ever. The idea is absurd, because reconciliation happens when we flush the hurts and pains of the past and hit the restart button on our relationship for the future. It is the epitome of us denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and following Christ. is putting our relationship back to the place where our anger at one another and our indifference are consumed by the unconditional love of God. And that's the true ministry of Christ. It is the ministry of reconciliation. It's the ministry of restoring relationship with one another, of hitting the restart button on our relationship with each other in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what Christ did for us. He put aside all of our enmity, took on himself all of our sins, and said, "You've hurt me, but I love you, and I want to be in relationship with you. You've lied on me, and I want to be in relationship with you. You've betrayed me, and I want to be in relationship with you. You've denied me, and I want to be in relationship with you. You've beaten me, refused me, rejected me, but I still want to be in relationship with you." And that's the ministry of reconciliation we are called to be as ambassadors of Christ. So I'm before you today, and I say this: if I've offended any of you in any way, I ask your forgiveness. And if you've hurt me in any way, I offer forgiveness to you. But let's seek to be reconciled to one another for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the world, for the sake of this ministry that we've been called to. It's one way to begin being living examples of Christ's love active in our community. And it will change us. And it will change our world. It will help to connect others to a forgiven and reconciled relationship with Christ. And that's what Christ's true ministry is really all about: connecting people to the love of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus was so serious about the ministry of reconciliation that he died to prove the point. Shouldn't we be willing to live to prove the point that he was right? And that is the word of God today for the people of God today.